to part two. Part two of Got to Be Real, another episode of Grey's Anatomy here on Grey's Academy. I am Kelsey. That is Carmen. We are doing the most. It is the daytime. We're in a weird place. We appreciate all of the listeners.
We do.
Well, sorry if I started the other one yelling at people.
We don't appreciate those listeners.
Listen, I appreciate you for listening. I just want the expectations to be set where they should be set. And that is that we are just two people doing a podcast for funsies.
Yeah.
And if we did this as our full-time job, I would be way more open to people yelling at me.
Yeah. It's like, you know, you volunteer at a homeless shelter and you're not scooping the soup fast enough or something.
I would say that's a more valid thing to get mad about, to be honest.
Maybe you're using a serving spoon and not a, or you're using one of those eating regular spoons and they're like, why don't you have a gigantic ladle? And we're like, well, we're doing this one scoop at a time. I don't know. It's a bad metaphor. I tried.
It is. It's a pretty bad metaphor, but anyways, I'm not yelling at anybody anymore.
The elephant in the china shop. Let's do it. Let's do this.
It is like an elephant in a china shop. Okay, so we're going to start this episode with everybody's favorite segment, Living in Chondaland.
Living in Chondaland!
Thank you so much for that. That was beautiful. Unfortunately, it was unnecessary because there's no one.
How the energy drains from my life.
This is a bummer. I'm like, I went back and like double checked. I was like, Shirley was there, but
Shirley was there. There was one person who I thought, that's gonna be a person in Living in Chondaland because it was like so obscure.
Lady who like comes out at the surrogacy. That's who I was like. But I was like, yes. I bet that lady's Chondaland. She's not.
And all she says is, hi, I'm here. I heard your whole argument.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I don't even know why we do this podcast then, but
fucking flip the table.
I might.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll start with Callie in Arizona, I think.
Do we need to backtrack to include the Owen of it because they kind of hit this precipice?
Yes. We'll start with Owen.
Because the Owen and Callie of it affect the Callie in Arizona.
Yeah. So Owen was pissing me off for the most part in this episode.
Hell,
he had
yeah.
like a 2-second window of like not pissing me off. I will say this, and we'll get into it when we get into it. That monologue that he delivers later, Kevin McKidd did an incredible job delivering that monologue. That monologue was written very well and delivered very well.
Yeah.
And I hate Owen still.
Yeah. Yeah.
Him and Derek are in similar camps of like, I'm going to make my own personal bullshit everyone's problem.
Yep.
Okay. This episode, we see Callie and Owen. They're out of the hospital. They're going somewhere else. They're dressed up. They're like giving a presentation on Callie's project, which we had seen last season, which was the thing she and Derek were going back and forth about with like using brain mapping to connect robotic prosthetic limbs to people. And Owen, obviously, having his history, gets this connected to vets and the VA and everything. So Callie goes with him to do like talk to these vets. And of course, he puts a lot of pressure on her, which like these people have made a crazy sacrifice for their country. And like there is an appreciation there, obviously. I don't like that he's using that to like leverage it to get her to do whatever he wants or whatever he thinks is best.
Yeah.
And then like ultimately in the moment where they think that this guy that they've already Callie from the get-go is trying to like curb people's expectations and be like, let's not make promises. Let's not get anyone too like invested because like, we don't know, like there's still steps to get to the point where they get this and like can be a part of this project. And Owen is like, no, let's immediately out of the gate promise all these people that you're going to fix their entire lives.
And it's going to be free and they get to keep it and no one's going to ask about it and everything's going to be perfect.
Yeah. Which like, even if they all qualified perfectly, this is like funded by other people. You just can't make any promises, right? This is not like a super established thing that has existed. Like, they are actively like making this project, and they hope to be, I mean, Callie even says later on in the episode, like, they're going to be teaching this in med school. And like, that's the goal, like, right? That's the ultimate goal. They are changing the face of medicine and changing the lives of people who would need prosthetic limbs. But because it is still in such early stages, you have to have a lower expectation point and just have an understanding that things can go wrong.
Yeah.
And that is not how Owen is presenting it to these people. And then he is making it Callie's fault if it doesn't work, which
is
not the case.
That shit pissed me off. He kept railroading her. Mm-hmm. He kept saying, you're not going to be like Terminator, which in AI times, it's really pretty like a real thing that could happen. But he said, you know, you're going to be more like the $16 million man, and it's going to be great. And
$6 million man,
not the $16 million man. It's adjusted for inflation. Mm-hmm. And he keeps throwing all this over promising, all this very pie in the sky stuff. And his nerves don't even work.
Yeah.
Callie said, Hunt, you're seeing the thing. And when he goes, that's an order. Fuck off. I was so pissed at that. This isn't the military. This isn't even a surgical thing that you have any say into. This is her research project. So politely and firmly, fuck, step on a Lego. Fuck all the way off too. Yeah. Step on a Lego while you're fucking off.
Yeah. Yeah, it just...
It's icky!
Yeah. He's putting too much... Again, his problems become hers. So when it immediately starts to be like his nerves aren't going to be compatible with this project because of the way this amputation was done, which is not this man's fault, it is not Owen's fault, it is not Callie's fault, he... is like, you have to fucking figure it out anyways, Callie. And they're in the hallway yelling at each other. And he's like, I'm your boss. I'm your chief. And she's like, yeah, in surgery, this is my project that I got funded. This is separate from my surgical career. You don't get to give me a fucking order and tell me what to do when it is beyond my control. You, just because I can't deliver on promises you made is not my fault. That's your fault for making promises. And so she, you know, they have this yelling match in front of everybody, which then prompts Jackson to come in later on and be like, I don't want to be a hall monitor, so like, I don't care if you have issues with him, just like, don't have those issues so loudly in front of everybody. Which I would have loved to see him have that conversation with Owen, which I do believe he did, but I would have liked to see that one because Owen is technically the leader in the scenario, and that I think is a bigger issue, in my opinion, is someone in a leadership role behaving that way.
Yep.
And so what I also really liked was when later Owen goes to Callie and says, I owe you an apology. And then she just stands there and she says, are you going to give me one or is this just a heads up? Which I think so well sums up the way that like people apologize in this show, specifically like Owen and Derek. That's like they'll just be like, I owe you an apology.
Or they say, I would like to apologize. Okay, then do it.
Yeah. Or they won't say, I'm sorry, but they'll just do something that is like borderline nice, and then they'll say, this is me apologizing. No, it's not. No, it's not.
You know what's apologizing?
Saying,
A,
you're sorry.
I apologize.
And then, like, again, I do really like the full-on, like, explanation, conversation, like, monologue. I think the delivery on it is really, really good. And I think there's a lot of kind of unpacking of like the Christina relationship and acknowledging of like who Owen was when we first met him versus who he is now. I just think it's so crazy to me because he's like, she's gone and now I'm never going to have a wife or a family. And I'm like, you didn't have that when she was here. Like for a minute you had a wife, but you were never going to have a family. That was part of the issue. It is fine for you to want those things, but don't you think you should want those things with someone who also wants those things?
That's my
what
beef.
The literal fuck? Like, why are we still, she's not even here and we're still having this conversation.
Yeah. I'm pretty annoyed. It's guys, I am an equal opportunity story, dead horse beater
mm-hmm.
person. I'm against
beating around.
I don't
the
like
dead
it.
Horse bush.
I hate when those horses bushes just get beaten. Yeah. Also, someone trim those
horse bushes.
I combined trim and shave. Someone trave those horses' bushes, please. I think what annoys me the most is he had that with that one woman who wanted to quit her job, Emma, yeah. who was hot and wanted to give him babies and quit and move in together. And he had it and he threw it away for a woman who moved away. And then he's still complaining about it.
Want that.
Yes, Hoomst did not. It's just so dumb. I'm so sick and tired of hearing about Owen's diatribes, about woe is me. No, Owen. Woe is Christina for ever having to deal with you.
Woe is all of us for having to watch it for so fucking long.
Woe is Callie for having to deal with this at all because your bullshit became her bullshit. Also, what I don't like about all of this is, like, Callie does push back, and I like this, and I really am happy. Oh, wait, hold on. No, going back, the only redeeming piece about that is two things. One, he does say I'm sorry, and I guess it does give a little bit of a glimpse into why he was being so shitty and projecting and forcing all this stuff. Okay, I can look past that. Great monologue. But also, yeah, when he first came on the show, he was looking at ceiling fans and choking bitches.
Yeah, I think I do like the level of self-awareness. Yes. But to quote Christina in like season 2, being aware of your crap and actually doing something about it are different things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And just saying, I need someone else to do something good that I can just kind of tangentially be a part of to make myself have a reason to get out of bed in the morning. Ooh.
Talk about that in therapy.
And he, you know, I think it gives a lot. I think Zoanne Clack wrote this episode, and she has written many episodes before. She's been on board, maybe since season 1, but very clearly since early on. She knows these characters really well, and I think that is really evident in this episode. And just, like, how everything plays out. And, like, I just think she does a really good job of... It's so hard when, like, a showrunner leaves a show to continue to do that show and, like, still have these people properly, like, represented. Because I, you know, everyone knows I'm a giant Gilmore Girls fan.
Mm-hmm.
When the Paladinos left that show, it was like, you could tell immediately. It was like watching basically fan fiction, with the full cast and crew. It was like crazy, but I think they don't really have that necessarily in this, which is really nice because they have such a like well-established core group of people that were working on the show with Shonda, and they like feel, you can tell they still care deeply about these characters and know them really well. So I don't know.
I just
think she did a great job.
Yeah, I'm definitely feeling the love. I enjoy where things are going with how they're trying to, I know they're trying to make us feel an emotional response and be like, oh man, Owen's going through it. Didn't work on me.
Yeah. I don't feel bad for him. I just appreciate how they deliver this information.
Yes. You know, they really told and showed. They showed and told.
And I think I like the resolution because ultimately it's like, I don't want this man to have his like hopes and dreams torn apart just so that I can see Owen continue to be miserable. Like, that's insane.
Right.
But I like that there's this resolution where Jackson is like, actually I can fix his nerves and make it so he can be a part of this project. And so it's really a win-win-win, right? This man gets to be a part of this project. Callie gets to continue her work. Jackson gets to do real surgery, and Owen gets to like see this thing that he feels passionately about like go well and go correctly.
Yeah.
Now, the flip side, first of all, they're mean to Jackson for no reason in that surgery. Why are you bullying Jackson? They're like, don't try and be cool. I'm like, first of all, why are you two teaming up together? Fuck that.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a Mean Girls moment, but
yeah,
also,
I did not like it.
It's kind of, I mean, listen, I think you have to kind of get your digs in because he's the the owner of the, yeah, he's the Nepo baby. I mean, he is, and it's fine. Like, cool. I hope that my kids are Nepo babies someday, you know,
that I can provide them that.
I hope I can provide them that. I hope that someone makes fun of them because of how great their, my kids' parents turned out. Right. And, but that's a, don't bring coolness into it. Like, yeah. Jackson is cool.
Yeah. Then he's cool because Mark taught him to be cool.
Yeah. And he's doing all the nerve stuff. I think Callie brought Owen out from under the bus a bit too much. I did say this in recording, and it's going to be, I hope that Caitlin, when she does our video mashup, she keeps us in. All good things in this show come from women, and they yeah. keep bailing out these men who don't deserve it.
Mm-hmm. That is, let it be known, so accurate.
That's coming from a straight white man.
That's all... coming from Carmen, who hates women.
Oh. Okay. Well, this is why we get Spotify comments that you don't like.
Yeah, that's why. Because you hate women.
Because okay. you should be in the kitchen making me You're a sandwich me and I speaking when spoken
to. Go into the kitchen, get a knife, and stab you with it.
Yeah, wouldn't be the
Can
first
Can you move
time.
Here so that's actually easier for me to do?
That's actually the only reason I haven't moved yet.
Mm.
It's the threats. It's the constant threats of violence.
Yeah. Well, only one way to find out if I'll actually follow through.
It'd violate my restraining order.
Can you imagine if we were doing this with a restraining order? That would be so funny.
It all started one night at an IHOP when Kelsey stabbed
me. Him with a green waffle.
Ugh. Sounds terrible.
So
apparently they're doing a project now to help veterans get titanium limbs. And yes. Jackson's going to rewrite the nerves.
Mm-hmm.
Owen's going to get a pipeline, and Callie's going to do all the work. And I think somehow Owen and Jackson are going to take the credit, probably.
That would track.
Because they're the men.
Obviously, all of this, like, Callie does want to do this project. She feels very strongly about it. It's clearly, like, changing a lot of things about amputation and prosthetics and all this stuff, which was a project she's been passionate about for a long time. We've seen this, but this is not out of nowhere. I am very often, when it comes down to things being between Callie and Arizona, I am, like, I would say 99% of the time, end up being on Callie's side. I struggled with this one. Because Callie is, like, being very supportive of Arizona, which makes perfect sense to me. But then the second that Arizona is like, well, how are we gonna, like, figure all this out with having a new kid? Callie immediately is like, I don't understand why you don't want this. And I really didn't
It's a pretty big leap. It's
yes,
a big leap.
I literally wrote, Callie is leaping to so many conclusions. And I really also really didn't like when she said, I couldn't carry the baby, or you didn't want to carry the baby, and then I couldn't carry the baby, and you still didn't want to. I did not like that.
That's unfair.
I think that really negates, because Arizona is not being like, I don't want to carry it because, like, I just don't want to. I think there's a lot of, like, unresolved trauma from her having a miscarriage the last time they tried this. So to just kind of, like, write that off is really, really unfair.
Yeah.
And just, like, really dismissive of what your partner has gone through.
I think Callie used up all her understanding on someone who didn't need it in Owen. She said, I'm going to give all of my understanding and grace to him and give none to my life partner and wife and mother of my child.
Yeah. So I think that was really tricky. I didn't love that. I totally understand where they're both coming from. Like, I believe they both want this kid. I just think Arizona's being realistic to be like, how can we possibly do this with you doing this huge project and me doing this fellowship and, like, us sorting all this out? My question is, and I don't want to invalidate anybody's feelings. A fellowship is, I believe, historically a year. They have to pick a surrogate.
Yeah.
They have to, if they're doing an embryo transplant, like if they're doing their own egg harvesting, if they're doing donors, I don't know that that's been, like, discussed at this point or made clear, but they would have to go through all of that and then also go through 9 months of pregnancy. Feasibly, Arizona's basically done with the fellowship by the time this baby gets there.
Yeah, it's a good call out.
So I'm just like, are we just not thinking big picture? Like, are we just not looking at how time works? because it's Grey's and Grey's time is insane. Like, I genuinely, that's to me, I'm like, I think Arizona's feelings are valid about being like, I don't know if we could do this right now because I don't want either one of us to have to make a sacrifice and then, like, you know, the other person hold that against it or anything, or like be resentful of this baby. I just think for me, I'm like, I feel like if the fellowship is a year, you could also, if you're doing surrogacy, you could just schedule your whole thing to not have that baby until you're done with your fellowship.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like my plot hole point. But other than that, I just like don't super love that Callie is really not trying to meet Arizona anywhere on this. She's just kind of assuming the worst and not giving her the benefit of the doubt or even like a moment to kind of talk through it and explain anything. So then probably everyone just goes to what I have to assume is like the most tense board meeting of anyone's life. Like the energy has to be awful because
insane.
Derek and Meredith are in a weird place because he's a piece of shit. Weber's in a weird place because Maggie just
broke his heart.
Yeah, like said a lot of things. Callie and Arizona are in a weird place because they're not communicating well. Jackson's probably just like living it up. He's like, beep boop, yeah, I get to do surgery again, because he's not aware of anything that's happening.
Well, let's hold on a second, because I want to go back to the Callie and Arizona thing just really quick. So I kind of equated the way that that scene was handling, because I also feel like Callie was jumping way far to putting things in Arizona's mouth. I feel like the equivalent of that is if Jess and I were talking about daycare for Maddie, and I'm like, how are we going to afford this? And then she's like, what, you don't want the baby? Fuck you.
Yeah.
I'm like,
whoa.
Daycare is expensive. I don't know how we're going to afford it. Well, then why do we even have this baby? This is crazy. Yeah,
there's like so many steps from here to there.
Yeah. She hasn't. Like, it's been incredible. Also, like, I know I don't shout out Jess enough on this podcast. I do it, like, you know, in life. But Jess found and completely did all the research for the daycare. It's expensive, but daycare is expensive.
Yeah.
And like, I think that I, as her partner, did have the wherewithal to be like, hey, like, let me ask questions, but I want to be very clear. Thank you so much for doing all this work. But there were even times where I was handling it really, really well. And the stress of the situation, Jessica was like, hey, why do I even do all this work to find this if you're just going to be asking questions? You know, the responsibility is then for me, and I think maybe not as much Arizona, because I do think Callie's making a bigger leap than Jessica was in this moment. And this is not like a comparison. It's just an example. I had to be like, no. I want to be very clear. You're incredible. This is a me question. And the problem is that Callie and Arizona, I think, still have this underlying trauma from all the stuff they've gone through with the infidelity, that I don't think they're at a spot where the benefit of the doubt is their knee-jerk reaction.
Yeah.
And that's showing.
Yep.
So, anyways, I am very much, I agree with you. That was one of the things I hadn't even thought about, is that, like, basically the baby will be here by the time the fellowship is done. And that's if nothing happens and they don't have a miscarriage.
Or, yeah, that's like if everything goes perfectly smoothly from like right now to baby being born.
Yeah.
Which, again, I think with one of the, I guess, pros to doing a surrogacy situation is you have a little bit more control of like choosing certain things. Like, obviously some things are beyond control, and like you still have to, like, if they're doing like a retrieval, they still have to do all those shots that you guys went through. Like, you're very familiar with that. And like, that's a very regimented, like, scheduled thing. But because of that, you then just know more of like a time frame of like the end result, in theory, if everything goes well.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I also have a quick dad joke for you that I'd like to share.
Okay.
Totally unrelated before we go into the final stretch of this episode. I have two of them, and this is from our dear friend Renee. One, I bought a wig that was $1. It was a small price to pay.
Nice.
And then this one here. I have two dogs, one named Timex and one named Rolex. they're watchdogs.
That's a good one. I like that one.
Thank you. So, okay, the board meeting. The most uncomfortable board meeting of all time, where then they have to celebrate Bailey and break Alex's heart.
Yeah, which just really bums me out.
It is a bummer. I want to go back to a second and say, I do, like, when I said that Weber's in their heartbroken, that guy has been through a lot. Can we I think we should acknowledge Weber for a moment. His wife died,
mm-hmm.
who had Alzheimer's. Mm-hmm. He didn't get to be with the love of his life, Ellis Gray, because of really shitty circumstances and infidelity. Not saying that it's okay. We're not going to look past that. Bad. But, you know, still, it's acknowledgement. Then he finds out that 30 plus years ago, he had a child taken away from him that he never knew of. And on top of all of that, the man's almost died like 20 times.
He's just trying to retire, you guys.
And on top of that, he got basically yelled at by Catherine, and now he didn't even get engaged. Like, this guy, and they had a lot of old person sex, which good for them.
And really great chemistry.
Great chemistry. I love them together.
Yeah.
It's just that he's been through a lot. And how many of his employees have died under his watch? He also convinced a guy to commit suicide one time.
That is crazy. And I feel like we really just kind of skate over that a lot.
Oh, goodness. Like, God, he's been
addict,
through it.
Recovering addict, alcoholic.
Addict, relapsing addict, recovering mm-hmm. addict.
Yep.
Oh, goodness. Goodness. The only person who knew his secret up to this point was another addict who he secretly found out was at the meeting, and it was awkward. It's a lot, guys. Yeah. It's a lot. And Weber is just trying to be like, listen, I have a kid and I tried to do the right thing and she doesn't want me or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's goodness. What a wild, wild ride.
This is like a truly like very, very drama episode, like a lot of drama in this episode, but it doesn't ever get, in my opinion, it does not get like mellow soap opera-y drama level. Like,
no,
I think they still
no.
handle it in a very real and like validating way where you're like, okay, this like I get it. Like everything, I see the sides, I see the points other than Derek, whose point I will never see. I really am just like, yeah, I get it. Like I understand. So I just good episode. I also want to call out, we kind of talked about like Derek and Amelia and Derek being a piece of shit, but the scene after the surgery where that guy dies after Derek steals the surgery, and the guy dies, and then Derek,
the guy who was impaled by a tree.
No, the motorcycle.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right. Stop going on motorcycles and not wearing helmets, people.
Did I talk about how we saw me and my children witnessed a motorcycle crash like 3 weeks ago?
No.
Oh yeah, it was very jarring. Every Friday night we go to dinner with my mom's side of the family. It's like two of her cousins' kid and their kids and like her uncle, so my great uncle. It's lovely. We do it almost every Friday. We are going to that. So I normally take just the big kids because we're typically like out past Wyatt's bedtime. So Michael stays here and puts Wyatt down for her bedtime. So I was taking the big kids. We were like at a stoplight. We turn. There's one car in front of me and in front of them is a motorcycle. And in front of the motorcycle is a car. We're going. And all of a sudden, there's just like dust everywhere. And I see in front of the car in front of us, the motorcycle. By itself, just going on its side. So I obviously, like, the car in front of me stops. I stop. I, like, instinctively, I think just, like, the Disney in me, like, kicked in. I was like, I gotta get out of the car and help this person. So I'm like, guys, stay in the car. Like, it's running. Obviously, everything's fine.
Wait, what?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what I thought I was gonna do. But I get out. The people in front of me are already on the phone with 911. The people in front of the motorcycle have stopped and that guy's like running over to the guy. I will say what was lucky was this person clearly is like, was a very seasoned cyclist. Like they were in the appropriate gear, like long sleeve, long pants, vest, helmet. He was an older gentleman, but he was like appropriately covered for a ride. And like in the first moment of getting out of my car and like going over to where he was laying on the ground, for a second, I genuinely was like, this person is dead. Because he, I assume there's a level of unconsciousness or just like stunned that happens when you have that kind of just like physical like trauma. And he was just laying there, not moving. And for a moment, I was like, I've seen a dead person. Luckily, he did start to move. The person in the car in front of him had already gone to him and was like, you have to not move. Like, we're already on the phone with 911. You have to lay still, because if something has happened, moving will make it worse. The girl in front of me who was on the phone with 911 was like, I don't know where we are. And so I like told her what like intersection we were at. And so she could tell them. And then this other guy, like from the other side of the road, is like, don't take the helmet off. Like, you have to leave. The, like, don't like take anything off. Like, the EMTs have to. Anyways, it was very jarring. And then, of course, because my kids were also there, we had to talk about it at length, because that's how kids process things. Is like, they talk through it and they're like, wow, I can't believe that. Like, they're asking all these questions. And then like we get back in the car, because I'm like, okay, there's literally nothing I can do. I don't know why I got out of the car. And so when we're going then to dinner, we pass like four cops, two ambulances, a fire truck. I'm like, they're all going to where we just were. And we had, because like an ambulance driver had been at Bennett's school that day to like talk about being an EMT. So then it was just like, I was texted Michael and I was like, we're going to be talking about this 4 months. Like, they're never going to stop. And I was like, I'm also going to be thinking about this, because that was just like a lot. Even though like it ended, as far as I can tell, it's ended well. But it was just like very jarring. But yes, everyone, if you're getting on a motorcycle, for the love of God, wear a helmet, please. Please, 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 please. And if you're driving, watch out for motorcycles. I mean, watch out for everything, but specifically watch out for motorcycles. There's just nothing between them and the road. And it's so stressful to me.
Yeah, it's pretty insane. Let's take a quick minute to let people go buy helmets and the appropriate gear for motorcycling. And we will finish this episode up and you can go be with your kids, because I think Scarlett's coming home early today. So we'll be right back. Helmets acquired. Helmets are acquired. I hope we got a helmet ad for motorcycles.
Yeah. Also, sorry that people keep getting AI ads. We hate them.
Yeah, we both equally hate them.
Well, okay, they're getting specifically ChatGPT ads.
Okay. And is ChatGPT bad? I don't know.
Well, OpenAI is garbage. I'll fill you in on that. OpenAI specifically is some of the worst.
Okay. Well, if you see an accident and you want to go save a life, do it.
How to save a life?
Where did I go wrong?
I lost a friend.
That was nice.
Thank you.
Put that on the album. So we really didn't talk. Let's just round everything out with Derek being shitty to Amelia, and then we'll call it a day. Because I think that's everything, right?
Yes. But I just wanted to say specifically, and I will die on this hill, people need to watch Private Practice to have a full understanding of Amelia. But regardless of that, the actress is Katarina Scorsone, I believe is how you say it. She is so good. It's insane to me how good of an actress she is. Like, lots of people on this show are good. I just think she's so, so talented. And like, when they like give her heavy stuff, like this argument where she's like yelling at Derek, I'm like, she just feels everything. She's so real. And I fucking love that actress so much.
Yeah.
I just love her.
I like her. Amelia's a good character. I don't think I ever didn't like her. I think I thought she was annoying at one point, but everyone who's been new, I kind of felt has been annoying. The exception to that rule seems to be Maggie, but I think they did a really great job at introducing her.
Yeah. People, I'm going to be so honest with you. People really don't like Maggie.
I like her.
Yeah.
So
people also don't like Amelia. So,
but here's the thing. How she handles this situation with Weber is going to dictate how I continue to like her. Last episode, they did a really great job of painting her in a positive light for me.
Yeah. Also, just I think it was such a good way to introduce a new character to such an established like cast. But I also, I think that, again, the writing in this episode really kind of gave these actors and characters like a lot to work with. And I think it was just really, really well done. But I specifically like love the actress who plays Amelia. And I love watching her just fucking sit Derek in his place.
Tell him to shut up.
Not that he ever fucking
up.
Gives a shit, but like he's so narcissistic and she calls him out on it. She's like, the levels of narcissism are insane. Like you are not like, do you hear yourself? Like he's like, oh, I've been doing this so much longer at such a higher level. Like, don't fight me for this. I'm like, she has this job. You are the reason she has this job. You can't reject the job that you got and then come back and be like, I would like to take my job away from the person I gave it to.
Because it's no cause. There's no cause for demotion.
I just want it.
And then to go in, this really got my blood boiling. To go in and put April in the middle of all of it. And then she even says, you have put me in a shitty spot, Derek. Like, you really fucked up everything for me here.
Yeah.
I like that everything that Derek did that was dumb, he got called on it.
I will say, people were really good about calling him out this episode. Would love for Meredith to get that opportunity. But he just doesn't.
Yeah. What did he say? Yeah. He said you don't want to fight me on this. Fuck off. He said that. And then when he came back into the room after she was doing like the post-op notes, she was recording. And he's like, I could do that for you if you want. Like, I see you're doing it. I could do it for you if you want.
Yeah.
And then she's like, you want to take that away from me too? Blah, blah, blah. And he's like, I'm trying to be nice. No, you're not.
Yeah.
He's
bad at it. If you are, you could not be worse at it.
He's doing like a really shitty, like, combo martyr love bomb. It's like terrible.
Yeah. And he's like, I mean, and she's like, he says, you of all people should understand, like, this was the future. And she's like, well, then you shouldn't have given it up. Like, no one made you do that, but you did it. And now you're stomping around here, like, making other people pay for your choices. And then he says, Meredith forced me. No, she didn't. She explicitly was like, you're doing like you, we will support you going, but we won't go.
Yeah.
And then like, he's just doing, and he says like, oh, I'm not trying to do. And she's like, it doesn't matter what you're trying to do, 'cause this is what you're fucking doing.
Call him.
So at a certain point, your intent doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's so, God, he's the worst. I'm just livid.
Yeah, it was not a good Derek episode. And then at the end, to just totally hit Meredith at the end of all of that with, I stayed and I turned down President
Barack. And I'm like,
Barack,
so you didn't
for
listen,
you to get drunk.
You didn't listen to Amelia at all. You didn't listen to anything she said to you. If that's how you're going to turn around and act to Meredith.
Can we just give Derek's board seat to Alex? Like, can we vote on that?
That would be, what a win.
Honestly, there's probably some sort of conflict of interest of having married parties on the board. So can one of them be on the board? Can we actually give Arizona's seat and Derek's seat to people?
Who can we get? We can give one to Alex. Who gets the other one?
Olivia.
Mm. For a minute, I recognize now what you're saying, but for a minute, I did think you meant Olivia Pope, and I was like, yes.
No.
Let's get Olivia Pope over here.
No, that's
but I
funny.
Recognize now you do mean Nurse Olivia.
Yeah. Honestly, just get Derek off. Arizona and Allie. Arizona and Callie can probably both stay on.
Yeah.
Derek and Owen doesn't get a seat on the board. He's not on the board.
Fuck no.
Yeah.
Okay, let me look over and see if I have anything that we've forgotten.
I don't think we do. I think I'm ready to rate this shit.
Oh, I didn't like how Joe was being weird about Meredith and Alex.
He's
like not picking up on it. I'm like, if you have an issue, you need to say it to him so that it can be, because like, don't sit on that resentment. Don't make it weird.
Yep. I'm with you on that.
Maybe it's making bad choices. So true. When Meredith says, I'm the son and he can go suck it. Hilarious.
Yes. Yes.
Bailey delivered my baby and saved my life. What have you ever done? Funny.
Gave her a baby.
The, the man with the tree through his abdomen. We didn't really talk on that. Like, it leads to when Maggie says, like, oh, this was the best time I've had since I've been here. They do this, like, incredible surgery together, all of them. That was crazy, though, that he had a tree.
And Weber does, like, an 18-second splenectomy.
Yeah.
And he says, that's not my first rodeo. And Bailey says something to Pierce says, I hope I get to be that quick someday. And Bailey says, you just need 40,000 more rodeos something like that. Not 4,000 more rodeos. Mm-hmm. But it is, I think that was a really cool moment. And I think that is the moment that Weber was like, I need to have a relationship.
Yeah.
Because that feeling pride from the person that you know, mm-hmm. well, you don't know, you are assuming is your daughter, I think is a big thing. And that was just a cool moment. And I'm sorry, mm-hmm. I feel bad that it went from that to what we see at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I didn't take any notes. So
yeah, I think we really talked through most of it. I will say at the end, after Callie and Arizona go to the surrogacy appointment and then they come back and Callie's upset, and Jackson like doesn't really pick that up, but Owen figures it out and like comforts her. I thought that was the 3 seconds that Owen was fine in this episode.
I think his apology was fine.
Yeah.
So 6 seconds.
Yeah.
Shall we rate?
Yeah.
So I think I gave last week's episode an 8.99.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'd like to give this episode as well an 8.99.
Interesting. I think I'm going to have to give this a 9.5. This is a 9.5. I think it was really good. I just think the writing was really good. And there was just she just really knows these characters. And I think that really, for me, like really stood out. Like the monologues that were given, the opportunities. We don't get to see drunk Meredith a lot. And I think drunk characters are always tricky. Like you never know how it's going to play. But I think it was written really well and delivered really well. And so, yeah, for me, this is like a 9.5. Like this is a lot happened in this episode and it's really good.
You've convinced me it's a 9 even.
Okay.
Yeah, I like it. I think there was a lot of stuff that happened. It didn't, the plot got moved kind of in a big way,
mm-hmm.
because now there is this understanding, like the bomb was dropped of Maggie and Meredith.
Mm-hmm.
Now the bomb has been received. It's Meredith started the episode fighting it. Now she's accepted it. Now Weber's in it. What I do think needs to happen is there needs to be some sort of meeting of the three of them. I don't know if we'll get that. My prediction is that that happens and I would love to see that. I predict that Callie and Arizona will still go through the surrogacy process and they will get it. I also predict that Arizona is going to drop out of the fellowship.
Yeah, we didn't really talk about her with Herman in this episode. And
Dottie was being kind of a punk, but also it's fair because Arizona, she like if Gina Davis was getting a real fellow, like brand new right out of mm-hmm. the gate, they would have been more up to speed than Arizona was getting because Arizona was so ingrained in the other things.
Well, different and also because they've already worked together.
Yeah.
I think she thinks like, oh, we already have this. Like, we're just super chill. Like, everything's fine relationship. And Dr. That's Herman's like, no, you're my fellow now. So you need to step up and be the fellow.
Yeah. Yeah. That's an interesting dynamic. But I don't think that Arizona is going to stay with the whole fellow program. I also predict that Amelia will continue to be the head of the department.
Okay. So what do you think Derek's going to do?
He's just like, going to be a bitch.
Yeah.
He's just going to be a little bitch for like ever until they kill him.
So like what's the, everyone just suffers and then he dies?
Yeah. And then they try to retcon him into being good again.
Then they martyr him when he's dead instead of martyr him as he's alive.
He died the way he lived, a martyr.
Being the fucking worst. Yeah. Okay, well, cool. Cool, cool, cool. I think that's it, prediction-wise. So you, for Weber, your prediction is, like, they sit down and hash it out?
Yeah, the three of them. I also do predict, I think I said this already, Alex is going to get his he's going to get interim head of peds.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what that looks like after the fellowship piece. But I don't know. I'm kind of at like, I got to see what happens next episode. I might actually go watch this episode like right now after this.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause it's going to be a while till we'll probably have extra running our mouths time next episode, guys. Cause we are not going to record.
And I'm going to be doing a wedding.
We're having
after
weird
this.
Podcast time.
Yeah.
It's going to be like 2 weeks before we record again, but you guys will see no difference in your podcast reception. Yeah.
Which I'll have given a best man speech between now and then.
Look at that.
Yeah. I've already right. got like a good outline of it. I have
good.
To I've,
don't yeah. wing it. God, I get so no. mad. I never let people wing it.
I'll tell you my opening as soon as we get off here.
Okay. Well, we've done it. Sorry for being hostile.
That's all right.
The takeaway is the same. The takeaway is the same. We are doing our best, and I would like to be shown a touch of grace when I am operating on 4 hours of sleep.
Yeah. Couldn't be us. All right. let's wrap this up.
Okay. Well, thank like you guys a wiener. So much. Wrap it. No glove, no love.
Wrap it up like a wiener.
I thank you guys so much for listening and sharing and supporting and understanding who we are as people and what we love about doing this podcast and why we do it. We just love it and we think it's fun, and we know that you guys also think it's fun, and we love hearing from you all and talking to you all, be it via email, which you can email graceacademypod@gmail.com. I just like talking to you guys. You know, we are people. You can talk to us. For the most part, we are able to respond. You can message us on Instagram. You can message Grey's Academy Pod on Instagram. That goes to me. You can also message us directly on our personals, which is carmen.gabriel.official and chaoticallykelsey. And you can email us. You can find our website. There's a spot on the website where you can send a message. If you want to just tell everyone you know that we exist, just share the love. Grays will be, I don't think season 23 is starting till like October this year. It's kind of crazy. It's a very different schedule. I think a lot of like cable and network shows, kind of the way they schedule things, have changed because of the way streaming is now so like prevalent. So I just think it's different. But yeah, Grays is going to be season 23 soon. We're going to be vibing as always, you know, just doing our thing. Eventually we'll catch up, maybe. Who's to say? I don't know if it'll ever end, if we'll ever catch up. Maybe we'll die before Grey's ends. who's to say, really?
I don't want that negative energy in the world.
I mean, not that we're gonna die soon, just that Grey's is gonna go for like another 50 seasons.
Oh yeah, okay, that's fine. At that point, here's the thing I want you all to know: if it goes another 50 seasons and we are not in the show, fuck off, Grays. At that point, we should have created characters on the show.
We should get to be patients who die
at least once. Yeah. I want to come back as multiple characters.
You've got to let that go.
No. Oh gosh.
Okay. But thank you guys so much for your support. We really do love you guys, and you're amazing. And make sure you're sharing and liking and subscribing and all of the different things you can do. And if you see Carmen walking down the street, just remember,
no spoilies. We appreciate you all so much, and we will see you all in the next one.